I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
Ah, you know.
But there's a sign upon your door.
Uh-huh.
Gone fishing.
I'm real gone, man.
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
There's your hole out in the sun, where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing by a shady, weighty pool.
Shangri-La. Really la.
I'm wishing I could be that kind of fool.
Shall I twist your arm?
I'd say no more work for mine.
Welcome to the club.
On my door I'd hang a sign, gone fishing, instead of just a wishing.
Yeah, okay. Is everybody thoroughly motivated? Happy moods all the way around. Yay!
It's actually a pretty good song.
Oh, I like it a lot. But I'm old. Yeah. I remember when Bing first came out with that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, okay. Well, I thought it was in a weird kind of cryptic way. Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and Captain Carl back in the guest spot. Well, you know, with Carl, where's Carl? Gone fishing. Where's Carl? Out fishing. The car got a charter? No, he went fishing. So.
Fishy, fishy!
Yes.
Okay. He stays on him, though.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Now, Carl's over there in the seat. Every time he gets off the water, it's pretty much just, okay, there he is, that's Carl, okay.
It's time to wind down when I get off the water.
Okay, so it's been more of a kind of an interesting week for shark fishing, or for fishing. And guess what? There's a lot of out there.
Yes.
Quite a few.
Big ones.
It's hard to believe. I think this whole thing is like an F sharp and a G. It's two notes. You're like, two notes, all that scary stuff. Okay, there's the bass player.
And it inflicts the fear of everything and everybody.
And you know, you watch the movie now, and it's like corny, cheesy, just horrific, just bad movie.
It is.
It's just terrible. It did not stand the test of time. There's a couple movies from back then you can watch now, and you're like, yeah, you know, that's really good. Then you watch Jaws, you're like, really? That scared the entire nation?
Scared the world. Not the nation. That scared the world.
Yeah, there's people all over the world that won't go swimming in a creek, a lake. They barely get in swimming pools because of that movie.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, talk about a profound impact.
Okay. You know, I'm sitting here, and I was all ready, except I wasn't ready at all. But I will catch up here in a second. On our fishing report page, I'm sitting here going,
well, we've only tried this, what, half a dozen times so far today?
Okay, what color am I going to use? I try and do all the fishing reports in different color. I already did black.
Pink.
Blue, I guess, is the color of this one's going to be. Okay. It's that way, when you're looking at them, you can actually tell what some of the differences are if I do them in a different color, you know what I mean? So, in general fishing terms, I'm hearing, you know, everything from terrible, 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 horrible, bad, too. That's okay. Not too bad right now. I don't know. You know, I think the truth, as always, lies somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been a lot of hopscotch reports around. I think the guys who stay on the water and that are very patient and observant seem to be the ones that are doing a little bit better. The ones that have always been kind of the instant gratification, go out, fill up two live wells full of light white bait and just drift the shoreline and pitch out handfuls and just catch fish when they pop and then move on to the next spot, those are the guys that seem to be truly struggling.
I know, I know it's a random thought, but the guy came in who sells us that new chum, have you tried that yet, Carl?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What do you think?
It's good for white bait. I wouldn't use it for pinfish.
Okay, but for white bait.
White bait, it works great.
Yeah. it's supposed to sink. Now, I watch some of it sink, and then the other part of it floats mm-hmm. back up, and it's got a whole, you know, it's pretty cool stuff.
It works good for whitebait. Pinfish don't really come to it as much, but the whitebait does.
Now, the dry chum that we sell, is that better for pinfish?
That works good for everything all around. Usually, when I'm out there, I got two buckets. I got one of the Boca Coast chum, and then I got one of the regular chum. And I'm chumming with both, actually.
All right. Now, what I do when I go out, I think I would like his, but I think what I would do is take a little bit of ours. It's a little bit less expensive. But I would just sprinkle it dry on the water mm-hmm. and let it broadcast out. Because if you don't know where the bait is, if you sprinkle it dry, it floats. And little bits are settling all the time. And just the tiniest little run of it, like some between my fingers and sprinkle it. And the hardest part about doing that is to wait until it gets away from the boat before you put more down.
I usually take a handful just to dry, and I throw it out there, and I light a cigarette. Then I'll start chumming, you know, with the wet down stuff.
Well, I usually don't chum with the wet until I actually see something dimple. I'm looking for the dry until... You know, with the dry, because it's going farther, getting further away. But if I see something flash or hit, then I go to the wet. Now, you do it differently?
Well, the reason why I've been doing it differently is because the area I'm catching bait is, bait's not on the surface at all. Even it's not coming to the surface on chum, it's staying down in deep water. So, I mean, I'm throwing both of them out, wet and dry. Dry when I first get there just to get it going out in the water everywhere. And then I start throwing, you know, a little bit of chum wet down in one spot just to really draw them in.
Gotcha. So you're knowing the bait's there without actually seeing it,
yep.
physically seeing it. You're just saying, okay, this is going to work.
It's how I like to think it.
But that's okay. But they can't see us and they don't know. So
I'm throwing in deeper water. That's
so
probably
you're around 6-8 feet of water looking for them.
Yep. To 6 feet of water is where I'm getting them.
So now, if I was going to go back on the flats of Devilfish or Jug Creek, back in that 2-3 feet of water, I start with dry, scattering it out. And once that's broadcasting across the flat, if I see them their way out there, I pull the pin and push pole over or trolling motor a little closer and scatter a little bit more dry, and then I start with the wet stuff. But, you know, I want to see that there's something there before I start throwing handfuls and handfuls of chum.
Or throwing a net for
but
nothing.
I'm cheap. You know, I look at it all like money. I mean, when I blow the money, it's not a big toy. This is one I'm going to get really stupid at. I mean, looking at my taxes, I actually lost money last year. I was like, really? But, you know, I got big things in upcoming websites, and we got a new store and all the rest of that stuff. It's hard to believe after 32 years, this is the first year I've lost money in 20 years or 25 years now. But hey, it's got to happen every once in a while.
Yep.
Hopefully next year, I'm going to make...
Hopefully the expansion will make it worthwhile.
Yeah. But that was quite a shock when my taxes. Hey, you lost money. I'm like, well, explain why I didn't get a paycheck. Okay, yeah, all right. So anyway, getting back to the fishing report. Too much knowledge out there, you know. But I don't care. You know, what's the difference? You make good money one year, you make bad money the next. You win some, you lose some. You fail at this, you succeed at that. That's the thing I don't understand about people today. They think if you're not, you know, this and that, you know, you're not doing well. Well, sometimes failing is the best way to learn how to win. If you don't know how to fail and get back up and work harder and do better, how are you ever going
to
win?
But people don't like to admit that. That's why they're used to seeing happy, bubbly stuff on their Facebook with all their friends, so they think they need to be the same way because they think that's real rather than a fairy tale.
Now, real life is you win, you do really good, and then you screw up and you lose your ass.
It's a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, you get back up and do it again.
What's one minute difference? You're going, wee, and the next minute you're going, oh.
Yeah, that sums up the last few years for me. Oh, goodness. All right, but we're going to get to the area fishing report, and that's coming out right now, starting with the Peace River. Okay, Peace River. Anybody?
Getting a lot of mixed stuff up there. The tarpon are still up there in fair numbers from basically the power lines are right behind Harbor Heights there all the way up to the bridge. They haven't been rolling as heavy as they were a couple weeks ago from what I didn't hear, and so you got to kind of really watch closely to see the difference between the gar and the tarpon that are up there.
I'm seeing a little bit of stuff, but I'm not seeing the... I see a couple possible gar swirls, no tarpon at right. all. Everything that I'm hearing about or seeing, I'm on the opposite side of it, and I'm writing, so I'm the one doing the typing. I wrote, they're north of Harbor Heights. I haven't seen anything down by I-75.
No, I haven't heard much there.
Harbor Heights, everything, if I'm hearing about them at all, it's been from the power lines and everything north all the way up to maybe the water treatment plant, but yep. I think they actually went further. I think they're pushing up towards Iron Lake up
yep,
there.
They are. There's a bunch up there. I got a buddy that caught a real big one last week in there. There's also a bunch up there by the RV park, too, still. You know, catfish tails and mullet have been working the best, live or dead.
Yeah, now, I've heard of a couple redfish.
Snook. There's some really big snook up there right now by the trestles and on all your docks on the, like, the Harbor Heights side. There's some good snook fishing going on.
Are you casting to them with live bait or artificials or what?
For the big ones, we're using ladyfish. For your normal ones, we're just using lures. You know, we're just casting twitch baits, MR-19s, MR-17s, storm paddle tails. All those have been working good for all your normal snook, but the big ones, we've been using ladyfish.
There you go. That works pretty good. Heard of any redfish up there at all?
Very few. Yeah, you know, it's just like one here, one there. You're not
by complete accident?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about up there towards Shell Creek? You hear anything there?
Nope, I haven't heard anything about there.
Well, let's bring our sights back down to 41 Bridge.
Nighttime tarpon's been doing pretty good. Yeah. Trolling bombers, trolling paddle tails, throwing out ladyfish. They've been working good on the tarpon up there. Also a lot of snook. Seems like everything's disappearing though when the sun's coming up.
Except for a handful of cobia that have been being caught there from both the boats and from up on top of the bridge. not an exorbitant amount, but enough where it's worth mentioning. And they're actually of legal size, what I've been hearing about from the several that have been caught in the last 5 days. They've been catching them on the whiting that they've been catching there and taking the frozen sardines. We had one woman in here over this past, what was it, Sunday? She came in and landed her first cobia finally.
Nice.
She didn't specify if she was using the sardines or whiting, but she did take sardines with her to start off with.
It's crazy how cool some of the women fishermen are.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, they come in and, you know, you're talking to them and they're so into it, and a lot of them are really good at it.
Oh yeah.
But they're just like, when you tell them something, you actually get the idea that they're out trying it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
You know, the one thing about, I think, that differs from a lot of the guys who sometimes get a little set in their ways, I think a lot of the women are a little more open-minded yep. for as far as, okay, well, I did this last time, but I didn't catch anything, so let me try this time.
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. Girls always outfish the guys.
Yeah,
I tell them all that.
I had a guy's wife in here the other day, and I said something to him, and he's like, well, I've never heard of that. She says, it was in today's paper. And he goes, what? She goes, don't worry about it. I already read it. I'll fill you in on it later since you don't seem to. I was like, wow. I'm like, that's just, you know, brutal.
It's just funny what a little bubble Port Charlotte is. And maybe it's because of our store. Maybe it's because of the way we do stuff and how we do it. Because, you know, I go to these, you know, and I think I've talked about it in other shows where we go to other areas and they're coming and going, you know, we got to get women more involved in this. I'm like, really? What part of the 60s are you in?
Right.
Come up to my store because yeah. literally half the day the women outnumber the men. And, you know, I guess because I'm not looking at men, women, kids. you know, what color somebody is or what, how they're dressed or anything else. Okay, it's somebody else who wants to know about fishing. You just do it. And it's not that I'm a good person that way. I think I'm just blind that way. I just don't have that key thing. I don't think it's something where I can say, gee, that makes me a better person or a worse person. I think everybody just kind of has something they trigger, because certain things, no, I don't do well with people, but I've just never noticed the rest of it, so everybody's just kind of the same, you know? I guess that's maybe why we're a little different, because I've just never honestly understood the difference between, you know, remember the old black women? Boy, I miss them.
Yeah.
You know, I know they passed away, but
yeah,
because they were old, and this was 20 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, they were old, coveted. Yeah. God, what a treat they were. The mullet, the ones who always went out for mullet and all them.
The one that went for mullet, and the other one, she went
the
for...
The little short, heavy set one, boy. She was just a trip. I don't remember.
She was
her name.
A spitfire. She was just funny.
Oh, yeah. You know.
And cut up just as much as anybody else, but in a very just proper way, but just funny. She was
the
a good
one
time.
Who's... son, but adult son came in and they stole some sinkers and hooks and stuff like that. She beat the snot out of that guy.
I remember that.
That was so funny.
And brought him back in here and apologized.
You know, I mean, he was just having a stupid moment. You know, everybody does something goofy every once in a while. He's a good guy. I mean, he still comes in today. But boy, his mama brought him in, whooped his ass, smacking him the whole way in the door. God, I miss them, but they were so cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the fishery report. We got Lashley Pier. What's going on at Lashley?
The only thing I've heard about is a handful of snook at night and a couple of mangrove snapper while they're just kind of throwing their bait out looking for some snook or whatever else is coming along. I did hear of one baby bull shark that was caught off there the other night. But overall, it's been kind of a little on the quiet side. You haven't heard anything, Carl?
No.
Okay. Colors are mixing me up, because I got blue as the last color of this month and the first color of the next month. I was trying to avoid that. But I guess there's no avoiding it. All right. Anyway, Bayshore Pier,
I've heard of two cobia this past week and two small sharks. Other than that, it's been very quiet over there.
Heard about a few snook being caught, but nothing really to brag about.
You know, it's just that time of year where it's going to be one day really, really good and the next day pretty quiet. You know, this big wind that we had the last couple days pushed that water up in there super high. I'm surprised we didn't hear more reports of fish being caught off there, but I think because that wind was coming right down the pipe, blowing right on top of it, that the people were avoiding it a little bit the last several days.
Yeah, that's a tough... Whenever you have wind out of the west, anything with west in it, northwest, west, southwest, Bayshore's right in the teeth.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised that it... I think because in the old days there was so many derelicts that hung out there, they're kind of getting that area cleaned up a little bit.
A lot. And not even a little bit, a lot. That place is absolutely spectacular.
Because, you know, Ponce de Leon is where everybody goes to see sunsets.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Bayshore is just as good, if not better. You know, it's just to go check out the sunsets and everything else. But I think now that, you know, there's not quite as many derelicts there. Yes, derelicts. Yes. You know.
There's plenty of them still there, but they do a much better job of keeping them in check.
I don't know why I say that. If somebody's listening to this radio show, they already know I'm a jerk, and I'm not politically correct. I like what I like, don't like what I don't like.
Exactly.
All right, let's see where we are. Port Charlotte Canal.
Now I need a puppy to pet.
Yeah.
My feelings got hurt.
You want some Play-Doh? God, how long will one of them last with me? About 30 seconds. Yeah. I'd be up on charges in like 45 seconds.
Right. Pretty funny.
So, oh God. The only good thing about doing these fishing reports is I look back at the ones I did last week and go, how did I spell that so badly? It doesn't even make sense. All right. I try to tell people that you can click on anything on our site because everything on here I have typed in, every picture, every link, every single period, exclamation point, whatever. I type in everything, and you can tell because nothing's spelled right. All right. So,
but the information is right.
Well, if you could understand it with the way I spell. What were we talking about with Porchella Canals?
Porchella Canals.
Lots of juvenile tarpon.
Yeah, the juvenile tarpon have been rolling in just about every canal. Pelham Waterway's really loaded up in the last several days from what I've heard from quite a few people.
Yep. Still a lot of snook. A lot of really good snook fishing early in the morning, just pitching the docks with lures. It was working great.
You know, they've also been getting a handful of jacks. Still a few mangrove snapper. And what else have I heard down there?
Manchester Waterway's been doing good for snapper.
Manchester?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Been doing real good on snapper biting there.
You know what I haven't heard of lately is like sand brim or
there's black, a lot of them
black drum.
Sand brim are all on the east wall.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a little further up in the creeks and stuff.
Yeah, and those
deep holes. I know they like a more brackish water.
Well, remember that because we're going to be going to the east side here.
Yeah, don't squirrel.
Black drum, I've been looking for them in the Port Charlotte canals because there was a bunch of them in there, but I haven't found them.
I did a post today, had some reports over on the west side, the big breeding schools.
Mm-hmm.
Guys saw big breeding schools of drum over there, which is going to take us to the Elgerbean Pier.
Elder Bean have been doing really good at night. The boat fishermen have been one night knocking the tarpon out, and then the next night, nothing. I think they're jumping back and forth between the bridges. And then they've also been getting a lot of jacks early in the morning off the trestle and along the bridge itself. The mangrove snapper bite's been pretty slow, but they're better quality fish. I've been hearing of some that are like 13 and 14 inches rather than 9 and 10 inches. other than that, I really haven't heard much else.
Been a few redfish. And the snook bite's still doing pretty good at nighttime. But the redfish, they've just been a few oddball redfish just mixed in with all the other fish. Catching them on shrimp.
Yeah, that's been the primary bait that everyone's been using over there has been shrimp. Shrimp or throwing just paddle tails in general, whether it's a small, you know, DOA or an actual like storm swim bait. It seems like the paddle tails have been kind of ruling the roost over there as far as artificials go.
Yeah, I'm you know, with the success of that live target one, you know, you would think more people would be buying that what the heck's the name of it, egret with the side to side tail.
Oh, that fat paddle tail. Yeah. They work good. I like throwing them for snook, ladyfish, jacks. Them things give off a lot of action. I've even caught a few redfish off them.
Yeah, I don't think it's that it's got a lot of action. It's just, it's the one type of small shad that the tail doesn't go up and down. It's side to side tail. You know, it's not a paddle tail, it's a swimming tail.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's key to... I'm going to throw some in my box because I've got the DOA cow sheds, I got a little bit of Bass Assassin, I've got, you know, some of the other ones, but I don't have any of the egret in there, and a totally different sound.
Yeah, I mean, I like the way they look, you know, their colors and everything. They got a lot of really good colors in those egret baits. They look more like glass minnows.
I'm not... You know, the colors are okay. I like the colors I got, but you know, I think I'm gonna try some just for the sound pattern difference.
They were good.
Yeah, well, you seem to think so I'll go with what you said. I'm gonna throw some in the box when I go out this week. All right, Mac, cutoff Tippy Canoe Bay, the 14-foot hole anywhere around there.
Mac cutoff and Tippy Canoe are full of redfish, all different sizes. There's a bunch of big breeders up in there right now. In your mid-30s, which doesn't make any sense to me right now why they're all the way up there, but they are. The snook bite's been very, very good in the Mayaca cutoff. A lot of, you know, big snook, smaller snook. There's a lot of action going on in there.
What are you catching them on?
All my redfish, I'm throwing crabs and shrimp. The snook, we're throwing white bait or, you know, topwater lures or twitch baits. The redfish is just crabs and shrimp is all I've been using for them. I haven't caught one in there on a piece of white bait yet.
Okay. So, South Gulf Cove canals.
I have not heard anything in there this week.
Nope.
A couple guys bought shiners again this week, but I never got a feedback from them how they did. You know, it's that time of year where it's inconsistent with them again. You know, I think there's so many people that leave that fish over there that we start to get that scattered report action.
Yeah, well, it's hard to get reports when you're relying strictly on the residents who really don't want anybody else coming near to fish.
Well, that's true, too. I never thought about it that way, but yeah, that's a good point.
You know, they don't want people coming to their little canal systems and go catch their fish, so it's hard to get reports out of a place like that.
So they're like crappie fishermen?
Pretty much.
I would say just there's nothing quite like crappie fishermen.
Yeah, they are kind of their own unique.
Yeah, I would say it's similar to be that. All right, the west side of the harbor. What's going on in the west wall?
West wall is doing very good right now. A lot of redfish scattered all the way up and down. A lot of snook mixed in with them. We've even been catching quite a few flounder up and down the wall. Around like all your like oyster points and stuff. That's where we've been getting all of our flounder. Mainly we're using shrimp, live shrimp, or gulp shrimp, you know, for our redfish. For the snook, we're using pinfish or whitebait or lures. But the gulp shrimp has been working great just because you don't have to keep going back to the live well and getting a new shrimp every time you lose it. I've been having people throw gulp shrimp and been doing very good over there on.
Now, are you using new penny, white?
I'm using a lot of the white, nuclear chicken. I still have a couple packs of that root beer gold that I'm trying to hold on to as long as I can of the 4-inch.
It's because it's Old Faithful for you, right?
Yes.
Not a bad thing.
I'm trying to find as many of those as I can.
That's the one they quit making?
Yeah, the 4-inch in it.
Pretty good color.
Yep.
It's weird how colors come and go out of some of these companies. You wonder what the motivation is.
Maybe they work good here and they don't work good everywhere else. I don't know.
Too small of a geographic location.
Maybe. But they work. I've used them in different states.
And I just don't.
That color
you would
works.
Just think, okay, so we're going to keep, you know, 100 bags for Southwest Florida. You know. But they keep thinking national, and I think one of the big problems with corporate America is they forget how important small regional markets are. Because if guys are catching fish with it in one color in one area, if you leave that color on the shelf,
yeah,
make sure they've got it. Well, people hear about it, but maybe they'll try one of the other colors wherever they are, and it grows exponentially. Mm-hmm. But when you keep cutting off good colors because it only sells in a small market, then you're just cutting off your nose to spite your face. I call it jumping over dollars to get the dimes, because that's the way you grow a business, is having a hit in a one little area that sells well and then let it grow out from there. But if you don't let it grow, you kill it. You got two choices. So I don't get all that. But I understand what the way the taxes are, because I mean, I had to pay income tax on all that inventory in the other store. And, geez, you know, with the rate they've got, I don't care. Love Trump, hate Trump. Let him do something about the frickin' taxes. You know, I don't care. If you're a Democrat, yell at him. Fix the taxes. Yell at your congressman. Fix the taxes. I just paid income tax on money I spent. Not money I made, money I spent. And I have to pay tax on it because, according to our tax code, that's profit. How does money, when you buy product, become profit? So, yeah, I'm frustrated. And I don't care. Insert any name of any president you want, but at least this one's actually talking about fixing taxes. I don't care who it was. I just want somebody to fix this. This is ridiculous. It's a lot of money to spend. All right. A lot of money to pay on money I paid. On money I made. All right. Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay.
Cape Hayes have been doing really good. They've been bonnethead sharks. Not a lot of trout, but they're better quality trout.
Yep.
On the Boca Grande side, on the drop-off side of it, there's been ladyfish, a few Spanish mackerel again, still some more bonnethead sharks, but then there's been also a couple of small bulls, a couple black tips, just a couple assortments of varieties of sharks.
A lot of snook on Cape Hayes Point right now on that deep inside trough. I mean, they're stacked up there, especially when the tide's going out. They line up there on that outgoing tide, and they have – it's fun.
What are you catching those on?
Mainly whitebait, but we are throwing, like, zooms, the split-tail zooms, little paddle tails for them.
I'm really waiting for that new one from Storm to come out. They got a new bait, and they got two different types of paddle tails on them. They come pre-rigged with a weedless worm hook. And nice. Then they got some extra bodies. But where do you see that one tail? Because you know how the split tail is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they put a thin piece of plastic between the split tails. So it's not a full tail. It's,
yeah.
It's got the two things, but then there's a little flat thing in between it. I'm hoping it's going to be good. I like the way they look. I mean, I don't know if they're going to catch fish or not, but I like the way they look so far. So we'll see what happens with that.
Bull Bay and Turtle Bay have been going off this past week. The one thing about it is that, like, beginning of the week I was having a hard time because the water was so high because of the wind. Well, our fish were so far up underneath those mangroves, you had to draw them out. Like, if I was throwing white bait, I'd scatter white bait along the shoreline, but I wouldn't put it up so close to the trees because I was trying to draw them out. And once you get those fish out from under the trees, because it's a lot shadier under there, it's cooler for them. Once you get them drawn out, you're going to have fun. It's just a matter of being patient to get those fish to come out of the mangroves.
And you're talking redfish and snook.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of redfish and snook in there. It's just you got to get up underneath those mangroves to get them. Some shorelines are easier than others because some have, like, little cubby holes where you could cast in. Those are the ones I'm mainly targeting just so it's easier for my people to get the baits up where the fish are. You know, also you could use a float.
Have you ever tried, what I used to do is take my, the dead white bait, whatever it was in the bottom of it, chop them up into pieces and try and throw them about 3-4 feet away from the trees.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Throw the chunks out there. And then I put a few live baits out. And the trick was to making the pieces small so it wasn't a meal. It was kind of like
appetizer.
Yeah.
Yeah, enough to get them excited and going and looking for more.
Yeah, and the live ones would draw them out, and then all of a sudden they'd find all these pieces on the bottom, and I could throw my bait up into them, but it actually would get them out from the trees. Yep. Because like you say, when that water goes up the way it was, when the wind's out of the west, those fish are so far into the trees, and that's why when we're fishing the mangroves, we look for these little indentations
mm-hmm.
in the trees. Not because we think the fish is going to be there, but it does allow us to get a little further back into the bushes. And so, you know, you're not thinking, okay, he's going to be another one on the right or the one on the left. You're trying to get as far into that little cut because we're hoping it's going to get back far enough to the fish.
I mean, the one downfall with that is when you're getting that close to those trees is when you hook a fish, he's going to take you and he's going to run right back in those trees.
Or right or left, and you got to get that rod tip down in the water.
Yep, I mean, the other day...
Your rod tip needs to be about 3 to 4 inches. The line should be 3 to 4 inches underwater. You can't fish that with your rod tip up in the air because you're just going into the trees.
Yep, I mean, I told a guy the other day, redfish took him into the bushes, and I'm yelling at him, like, hey, put your rod under the water. And he's looking at me like, put my rod under the water. And I just walked up, pushed the rod under the water, and I was like, all right, keep fighting him, and then... I was like, all right, he's out, bring your rod up. And he looked at me, he goes, that worked out really, really good. And I was like, well, I was like, you just got to think about where your point of line is, you know, if it's up in the air or if it's underneath the water.
I don't know what type of math that is, where, you know, you do angles and all the rest of that stuff. Math is definitely not one of the things I do well. But
neither am I.
geometry, angles, curves,
nope.
Lines, okay. You got the fish at point A. You're at point B, your rod tip's point C, the branches of the trees are point D, and if you get from the fish at point A to the tip of your rod at point C, if there's branches in between it, you're screwed.
Yep.
So you got to get your tip down so it's straight in line with the fish without the trees, branches in between that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a simple. Well, I don't know if that was simple or not.
It was a pretty simple explanation. I mean, it was easy to follow.
Okay. So, anyway, we're going to let's leave there. Go out to the Cape Hayes Reef. What's going on at Cape Hayes Reef?
A few mackerel. Oh, I'm still running around. A lot of sharks in that area, too. You know, big mixed variety of sharks, you know, from your small ones, the 3-4 footers up to bigger ones. Been catching quite a few hammerheads over there and quite a few bulls and black tips.
Smaller hammerheads, right?
8 foot.
Yeah, pretty good.
Not none of the big ones, but I mean decent size.
Yeah, well, 8 foot hammerhead's big enough for me.
Yeah, it gives you a good ride.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
No, it's funny. Some guys kayaking up around the bridge for big fish is becoming a thing again right now. I know. What was it? Six years ago or something when the kayak fishing
about
first
that,
hit.
Yeah.
Going down to the bridge for tarpon, shark, yep. Whatever, was a big thing with the kayakers. I've had several people say they've watched people hook up at the bridge in a kayak and then just off they go out into the harbor.
Just hold on.
You know,
let them pull the sleigh ride.
Yeah, draw the harbor sleigh ride. Bye. You know, send a letter when you get to Texas.
Yep.
You know? I mean, you're fishing out of a bobber, so, you know, they said, well, I'm going to slow them down. I'm like, yeah, with what?
Yeah, how?
You're not.
Yeah. So be ready for the ride. All right. Let's see. Gasparilla Sound. Anything over by Boca or on the island side?
Behind
on the other side?
Behind Boca has been incredible. I mean, basically from the golf course all the way up to Uncle Henry's. You've got trout up on the grass flats with some redfish scattered in with them. A lot of snook up underneath the mangroves and up into the canal system there at Boca Grande. And then you've got, I've heard of a couple of legal-sized gags up there in the canal system that guys have been catching, pitching under the docks. You know, most of those are being caught on live pinfish more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bigger trout.
What about over by the Ko Palu going out toward Catfish Whidden?
Kind of the same scenario, minus the gags. You know, the snook are popping up all over down there.
Sandflies full of snook.
They're all in that pre-spawn kind of condition. So they're number one, they're moving around a lot, but number two, they just are such a variety of sizes from one school to the next. One school's got one, like, say, 30 to 35 inch snook in it with 50 little buck snook, and then the next school you come across, it's nothing but all buck snook. I mean, literally 15 inchers to 24 inchers. You know, it's kind
of
weird.
On the outside of your bars right now, there's groups of snook. Like Robert was saying, you'll get one group that's got all little ones, one big one, then you'll get another group that's got all big ones. That's where, you know, I'm targeting all the big snook is on the outside of the bars right now. But they're moving. They're not sitting at all.
Okay. Well, is anything moving up by the Placida Trestle?
It's still closed, theoretically. You know, a lot of people fishing from boats are still doing good right there around the trestle.
A lot of snapper.
But the shore fishermen have been null and void. Yeah, big mangrove snapper. Been a couple of bull reds being caught there at night, along with a couple of really large snook.
I've been actually seeing quite a few nice sheep's heads still around, too.
Right around the pilings there?
Yeah. You know, because I'm idling through those pylons almost every day, and I'm still seeing quite a few nice sheep's head. I don't know if anybody's fishing them, but there's still quite a few nice sheep's head on those trestles.
Okay, heading up the ICW up to Lemon Bay. What's going on up there?
Trout fishing's been pretty good up there, just north of the Tom Adams Bridge. Your snook fishing's been doing very, very well over by like the Ski Alley, Stump Pass area. The snook fishing's phenomenal. I mean, just pitch your docks, work your dock systems.
I've heard of a handful of little flounder underneath, you know, barely legal, you know, 12, 14-inch flounder being caught off those docks, too, with the guys that have been snook fishing.
Yeah, I haven't got no snook flounder yet up there, but, I mean, there has been quite a few redfish on the docks up there, too. Unlike your outer docks, the ones that are close to your mouth of your canals, there's been quite a few redfish on the pylons.
Basically where there's a good deep water escape.
Yep. I mean, we were sitting there snook and jackfish another day, and I look over at a pylon, and I'm like, that looked like a redfish tailing on one of those poles. Well, we threw a pinfish over there, and next thing you know, he pulled in a redfish to the boat. I was like, well, how about that?
Yeah, and it's funny you say that, because most people don't associate with a tailing redfish in 3, 4, 5 feet of water. But if they're working up and down on a piling and stuff, their mouths are designed on the bottom, so they're always going to usually go head first down.
Yep.
Have their tail up in the air a little bit, so you know you can find them in some pretty obscure spots that you wouldn't otherwise think of.
It was crazy.
What about around the Englewood Pier, the Tom Adams Bridge?
Your night bites, what I've been hearing, has been best snook fishing at night.
Yeah, the snook and juvenile tarpon right there off the pier itself, casting towards the bridge, and then around the bridge itself with the boat fishermen. I've been hearing of a few bigger tarpon, some bigger mangrove snapper, and an occasional black tip or small bull shark being caught there. The black tips that have been being caught there, though, are pretty darn good size. They've been running in that 4 to 6 foot range, you know, true 80 to 100 pound fish, which to me, that's
a good black tip.
That's a really good black tip, you know, and they jump just like a tarpon, which makes them absolutely a blast.
All right. Going to take us out into the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, it's been too windy for the last 3 days, so I can give you a rough idea from the last accurate report I had was from a guy Monday morning when he was out there on Sunday, and even then he said it was pretty sporty out there. He saw a few kings. The barracuda, the cobia, and permit are still on a lot of the near shore reefs. And then a couple guys at the end of last week we're out grouper fishing, getting beat up in 30 miles out to 35 miles out. They got into a couple AJs. They caught one permit that was about 30 pounds. And they saw cobia and king mackerel out there, too, while they're out and about. I've heard of one blackfin tuna that was caught up towards between Venice and Inglewood area. Guys were got into a little school of bonita and hooked one blackfin, which is the first report I've gotten so far this year, which is a little late. You know, so there's a mixed barrage, but I think with this beautiful weather this weekend, I think we're going to have a whole lot of different reports going on.
Well, the store's slamming out there today. We're back here, but we actually probably should be on the floor. But
probably.
The only good thing is we got that overlap of the shifts right now, so they're loaded up out there.
Yeah.
Probably got six guys working right now. All right, which of the probably passes do you guys, what?
Two and the rest talking.
Yeah, four of them talking and two of them working, yeah. All right, which of the passes would you say would be the best one right now? Stump, Gasparilla,
I'm going to go Redfish. Boca or Captiva. Yeah,
Boca or Captiva.
Those have been the two most hottest ones that I've personally heard of. You kind of in agreement there?
Yep. Captiva's doing very good right now. You know, bunch of varieties of fish.
That's what I was going to say. That's where I'm hearing the most varieties, like you said. You know, you
snapper,
snook, redfish,
black tarpon,
sharks. I mean, just the mixed barrage of everything seems to be coming through there at some point or another.
Yeah, Captiva's doing very good. So is Boca.
Yeah. Boca's a little quiet today with the tarpon part of it, but they're going to start to stack
up. Somebody told me they canceled one of the tarpon tournaments because there was just no tarpon.
Yeah, and they canceled it last night.
Yeah.
But it's understandable. Guess if there's not a fish to be found, you kind of have no choice on that one.
Yeah.
Unless you just want to draw straws for the Calcutta.
And it's going to happen more and more and more. Because every year those sandbars out there change and that whole configuration of the pass changes. And on years where it's a little more narrow, that current really rips through there. And it's going to be really hard for the fish to stay there. They're going to hang out for a little bit, but then they're going to say, okay, it's easier to go here or go there. So they'll go back out in the Gulf or they'll go up on the hill. There's it's, you're going to have great years in the past, maybe when the sand widens out a little bit, bad years as it gets narrower. I mean, you know, it's just funny when how many years we listen to, oh, it's the biggest, deepest, most natural pass in Florida. And I'm like,
natural,
what's
what?
Natural about
nothing natural
when
about
they dredged it every, you know, 3 to 4 years. It was kept dredged and straight. And now they're seeing what a natural pass is like.
Didn't it used to be like 6 feet wide or something like that? Long time ago.
No, it was always about the size it is now, and it will always stay relatively close to that size. But when you came out, you know where that 30-foot pan is out there, where mm-hmm. it's about 30 foot deep? There was 11, 12 feet of water out there. And that 30 foot came from the dredging, and now it kind of gets bubbled, and it's going to get shallower right outside that, eventually filling in more and more. But if you want to see what Boca Grande is going to look like, just look at Captiva.
Yeah.
Because the sand's going to build up as the water tries washing in and out, but it's going to build up on that northern side. It's going to create a shallow flat out in front of it. It's already getting really shallow south of the pass.
I mean, yeah, it is.
You got to go out. You got to go out a mile or two to get across that sandbar.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just one of the things that we're going to see a lot of it. It's fun if you go on Google Earth, and not Google Maps, but actually Google Earth itself, because they have some time settings on there where you can view history and go all the way back to the oldest one, zoomed in over Cayo Costa. And you can watch what now is a saltwater lake. It used to be islands out in front and then a bay, and then you can watch the mouth of that bay go down the island and then close up.
Yeah. And yeah, it used to be a really cool lagoon.
Yeah, wow. When I was...
And you could get in there most any time in a boat.
The islands were... There was one of the islands still kind of there. There used to be three islands or so out front. And then it turned into this bay. And you used to drive the boats up in there, and it was great. Everybody would, you know, go into that lake and park their boats and swim and fish and do all that. And then it got shallower and narrower and shallower, and then it literally moved down the shoreline. That opening just went all the way down. It's really cool to see.
I'll have to look that up. That'd be cool to see.
Yeah.
I mean, just to see it over time. I mean, you see it, like, I'd only go there maybe once a year, if that, so I never got to see it
back when the
to that much.
Remember when Save the Tarpon came out?
Yeah.
Everybody was screaming, the tarpon are going away, and the... You know, these fishermen are running the tarpon off and all that. I went on the Google Earth and I found that because I remember when it was there, but I never, you know, it's there and then it's gone. You know, you don't pay much attention. You're used to things changing. But that's how I found it, was looking for, once I looked up with the state and found out they canceled the shipping lane there. So there's no more dredging, no more commercial money, so they don't dredge anymore. And I was looking for changes in the pass itself and found the changes to that lake. And I was like, wow, is that cool? Yeah. I mean, it's stark. It's amazing to watch.
That would have been pretty neat to see. I'll have to look that up.
All right. But it only works on Google Earth. Google Maps doesn't have it. Google Earth has the history. If you're going out walking the beach, where would you walk the beach? What would you be likely to catch?
If I was going to walk the beach, I'm honestly going to walk down by Boca Grande right now, just because that's where I'm hearing a little bit more consistency from basically the entire island, really. But as you get closer to the pass, it seems to be more mixed. There's been some schools of snook working the shorelines, a few oddball pompano, some decent whiting, not giants or great numbers, but just good numbers. There's also been an incidental flounder, a couple Spanish mackerel coming in close within casting distance, some jacks, and even some small blue runners coming in kind of close to the shoreline, at least within castable distance. Early morning or right at sunset, just as that supposed sea breeze starts to lay down a little bit. It's been really hard to do because that sea breeze kind of seems to stay consistent all the way up until about 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to start to, hopefully after this front comes through, we're going to kind of go into our normal sea breeze pattern where it lays down a little earlier. I would like to hope or wish.
I hope.
This has definitely been a screwy year.
There's been a lot of snook down there by the rocks, right there at the mouth of the pass on the outside on the beach. There's been a lot of snook hanging out there. We were over there the other day fishing them. There's a bunch. We were just throwing thread fins at them.
Yeah, it saved my butt a lot of times on charters, being able to go swing around the outside of the island and catch a lot of snook out.
Mm-hmm. Them snook are always jacked up. They're always so much stronger.
Yeah, they're fighting that riptide
They're fighting that current all day long, and then I tell you what, you hook like a 20-inch snook there, and then you go up in a harbor and hook a 20-inch snook, that one out there is going to whoop your butt.
That's exactly why I don't want push-pole, no motor zones in Charlotte Harbor. We don't have the tidal flow to eject all the toxins out of here. Outboard, you know, 150 horse outboard idling across the flats. That prop thrust thatches our flats, keeps them clean. I don't see the need for boats to be running at 30, 40 miles an hour around there, but, you know, slow speed minimum wake zones, I'm all for it. No motor zones, 100% against. I could not be more against it. I think it's a horrific modern age American thinking where what's good for one thing is good for all things. You know, because it works here and works there, it's got to work here.
Yeah. Well,
we've had no motor zones for decades here, and they suck all summer long. There's no life in them. Forget fish. Everything else is dead, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, too hot, no oxygen. All right, Punarassa Sanibel.
The islands down there by like Christmas and Picnic, all those islands are holding a lot of redfish right now. You know, if you're looking for snook, I'd be fishing all the docks right there by the Sanibel Causeway, Punarassa area. There's a lot of snook hanging on all them docks. You know, your trout have been doing good down there by St. James City. You know, float that grass flat with a shrimp on a bobber, or throw like a little DOA paddle tail, and they're doing very good on the trout down there. You know, mainly shrimp and crabs is what I've been using on all the redfish down there, and white baits for the snook. But there's some really good fishing going on down there right now, right there by the Sanibel Causeway and all that. There's still, you know, a few tarpon running around too.
Yeah, I always love fishing at flats with that cow shad, that paddle tail. Because it's grouper, it's trout,
anything will eat it.
Snook. Yep.
And it's anything is possible down there. Like you said, grouper. I mean, nobody really associates like grouper for like flats fishing, but you know, catching gags of assorted sizes from little babies all the way up to like 28 inches down there is not too unheard of.
Yeah, I use a lot of the nuclear chicken down there on the lures, the brighter colors.
Yeah, anything, I like anything with pink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bright reds, pink, orange. It's funny. The best rattle trap I use up here for snook is the crawdad color with the orange on it.
Yep.
The crawdad's one of the best snook lures. And what's orange in saltwater? But it's, you know.
A sponge.
Yeah, yes. You know, it just freaks you right out. Coosa Hatchie, tarpon are closer up towards the slow speed zone, you know, at the, that, between the island
and the bridge. Yep.
Yeah. And I haven't been hearing much else up there. I was going to get Vinny down.
There's been some snook up there.
I couldn't get down there. How far up are the snook?
I mean, I have a buddy that's been going way up the Coosa Hatchie, and he's been doing good on the snook. He's been doing good the whole river for snook right now. He just throws either ladyfish or lures is all he throws.
Right. Up by the 41 bridge, the 41 where our store's on, not the old 41 but new 41 mm-hmm. Cleveland, there's in on the north side, guys are doing a little bit of snapper and trout there off that pocket.
It's a pretty little spot. They had it closed down about 2 weeks ago for like 3 days because of the bird poop. But people are still catching a lot of fish. I just think it's funny how they say it's like toxic, but it's like it's, you know, they're saying fecal matter, but it's like it's the birds.
Yeah.
It's not the septic tanks or anything like that. It's just you get these drought times a year You know, there's nothing to really keep it stirred up and washing it away. You know, how many docks you walked out on where nobody lives at and the thing's covered in white?
You gotta hold your breath. I mean,
you go out and I used to do a lot with changing signs and stuff. I worked for the feds for a long time doing all that stuff, and it was absolutely staggering how thick the bird poop is on some of these pilings and different things that you got to deal with.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely amazing. But what's funny, they never paid me hazardous pay for going out there and working with all that stuff. Well, actually, I guess they did. Yeah. I was making a lot of money, so. All right, coming up to Matt Lachey.
You know, Matt Lachey, around your power lines.
Y'all didn't think I made my money in this store, did you? If you're out there listening, I didn't buy all this stuff. I was a federal contractor. I actually worked for a living, yeah.
Hard at it, too.
Yeah. So, Matt Lachey, what's going on?
You know, over there by the power lines, there's a lot of really big oyster beds there right now. We've been picking up a lot of nice flounder there. Just throwing shrimp. You know, we're fishing for redfish and trout over there right now, and we're pulling in a lot of nice flounder. Your redfish, they're scattered up and down all the shorelines on both sides of the Matt Lachey right now. Your snook are more concentrated at, like, the mouth creeks, where there's a lot more water flow going on. That's where I've been finding all the snook. You know, shrimp has been working better than anything down in Matt Lachey right now. It's working better than crabs. It's working better than anything else for snook and redfish.
Right there off the Matt Lachey Bridge, I've been hearing of some good mangrove snapper with a couple oddball redfish and snook being caught off of it too. There's the mangs have been like that 12, 13, and 14-inch range.
There's a couple snooks sitting at that one restaurant on the water there that has all the pylons going underneath it. It's like red.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I've been getting my butt handed to me the past four times I went there. There's some big snooks sitting underneath that restaurant right now. Big.
All right. Literally, I sit and look up at what I typed last week and go, man, I need to learn how to type. All right, I'm back to this week. Pine Island Sound.
You know, redfish are doing good down there on all your island points. There's a lot of redfish. Just, you know, pinfish have been working the best. Pinfish and mullet have been working the best over there for your redfish. Chunks of mullet, cut pinfish, live pinfish. I've been targeting all of my island points, and that seems to be where all, you know, all your redfish and snook are hanging out.
Yeah, it seems like the guys that are doing best down there are using stuff that's more stationary, like mm-hmm. on a jig head or a small split shot, because the water is pretty milky down there because of the way these winds have been. So it seems like if you're slowing your bait down or using the cut bait, getting more scent out there is being a little bit more productive.
I'm using a lot of frozen Spanish sardines to put scent in the water. Like Frank said earlier, I'm dicing them up very, very fine, and I'm just scattering wherever I'm at, you know, with those Spanish sardines. Put a lot of scent in the water.
Well, people, they don't believe it, but yet, if we were walking down a street and somebody's cooking a, you know, steaks on a grill, you get hungry.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you could have just ate a half hour ago, and it's like...
It's funny. I remember the woman who owned the restaurant, the very first, you know, actual business I worked in. I was cooking at a restaurant. And back then, you had a switch for the overhead exhaust fans. And everybody smoked and drank coffee back then. So they'd be sitting around all the tables. There'd probably be 20 people in the restaurant, but nobody's buying anything. She would turn off the exhaust fans, take a sausage link, cut it in half, and stick it on the grill on a press. And in a little while, everybody's going, hey, you know, I think I'll have a burger. How about a roast beef? How about this? And I'd be click the exhaust fans back on, start cooking, and I'd be cooking everybody food and making stuff. And if it works on people, it should work on fish.
Pretty much most any living thing.
And I think it works on everything.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, you're not really hungry. You're not thinking about it. And then all of a sudden, hey, you know, yeah, I could eat. Okay,
it works.
Yeah.
More scent out there works, most definitely.
All right, take us up to Boquilla, Jug Creek Shoal.
I mean, there's a lot of bait there right now. Especially early in the morning. I mean, that's
like right at first light.
Yes. I mean, it seems to be.
You should be there in the dark getting prepped for it, from what I've been hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because after daylight's up, there's enough boats there, it scatters that all over the place.
Yep. There's quite a few nice trout running those flats, too. Not a lot, but there's been some good quality trout running out there. In your deeper water, about 4 feet, 4 to 5 feet, there's been some very good trout.
Yeah, I've heard the guys have been doing best on those with pinfish more than anything else.
And then your docks on Boquilla are holding a lot of snook right now. You know, big mixed variety of size. You know, you'll get your little ones all the way up to your medium to big ones.
What is it?
Those docks that are all right there on Boquilla.
Yeah.
Holding a lot of snook. There's snook on every single dock in there. You know, white bait is working the best, but I mean, I've been using paddle tails. I've been using, you know, spoons. A lot of lures are working good. Those live target baits are working excellent too.
Been some sharks also out there around the Mondongo, that little deeper trough there. You know, they've been getting a couple bull sharks, an oddball lemon. One guy caught actually like about a 7-foot nurse shark there last week. So there's been kind of a mixed amount of fish. I think it's a lot of those fish that are harassing the tarpon in the past and boogieing south.
Last week, spell Mondongo.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah,
M-O-N.
I'm not writing it. I did it last week, and it's nothing but red lines and stuff. Okay, Mondongo, spell it.
M-O-N-D-A-N-G-O.
Mondongo, okay, sharks.
Carl's looking it up. He's going to zoom in on it and get the proper spelling here.
I guess I could do that. I've got every map thing in you could think of on this computer.
Yeah, I have no idea, to be honest with you.
M-O-N.
Yeah.
D-O-N-G-O.
Oh, Robert was off by only one letter, way closer than me. M-O-N-D-O-N-G-O.
Yep.
Mondongo.
There's also been, you know, speaking of Mondongo, those big oyster beds behind Mondongo, just south of Mondongo, has been holding a lot of redfish right on the outskirts of those oyster beds.
And then what are you catching those on?
Cut pinfish.
Cut pinfish.
Yeah, the crabs don't work the greatest down there because there's pinfish everywhere. And you throw a crab out there, and if you're not on the redfish and they're not eating right away, you're going to pull in just a shell of the crab. Pinfish are going to annihilate it.
They hollow it out pretty quick.
Right away.
Yeah, and they're expensive. That's a lot of money to waste on pinfish.
So I just go get pinfish and use cut pinfish. They don't eat each other.
Well, they'll pick the dead pinfish apart, but it's a lot slower than sucking out a $3 crab.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Burnt Store and Two Pines. What's going on in that area?
You know, that area is starting to really do good. The whole east wall is starting to pick back up now.
We're not there yet.
Oh, I know, but that's still part of the east wall. It's Punta Gorda. You know, for a while, I mean, the east wall was kind of slow, but the snook are starting to really pile up in Two Pines and Burnt Store area. Your redfish, there's starting to be quite a few redfish running Burnt Store Bar now. The fishing is picking back up over there pretty good.
There has been a couple of tarpon along that way and a mixed variety of sharks because there's been some threadies down there closer towards Two Pines out in the main channel. So I think that's why it's starting to lighten up a little bit with the fish activity, or light up, I guess I should say, with the fish activity. I've heard of a couple big black tips, couple bulls, hammers, and you know those tarpon hanging out in that 6 to 12 feet of waterfowl on that kind of trough heading south.
It was funny. My cousin asked me a question the other day, and one I'd never considered. She says, "What do you guys mean by, you know, crossing the bar, jumping the bar, or going over the bar?" She actually thought it was going outside of Boca Grande Pass, because out in Oregon, they say jumping, going out the bar is leaving the bay, going out into the ocean. And it was weird because I tried telling her, no, it's just crossing a sandbar, you know, because we have the middle of the harbor and the open harbor, and then you go over the sandbar to get to the flats and the protected bays, protected flats, but they're separated from the harbor by sandbars. Mm-hmm. So they're not really part of the actual harbor, even though they are. It's the, like, picture the harbor is the downtown area and the flats are a suburb,
so
to speak.
That's a good way to describe it. I like that.
Yeah, well. Okay, blind squirrel found acorn. All right. Yeah. Now we're to the east side, Mr. Carl, Captain Carl. Oh, Barb is leaving.
Really?
Making
really?
Fish faces even.
Really? Part time. I think there was a finger acknowledgement there with that face.
There was definitely a tongue protrusion on that. All right, on the east side, and we're in the East Keys.
Kobe have been cruising up and down on the outside edge of the bar with a few manatees and a couple of bigger stingrays, so kind of keep your eyes out for them.
Yeah, so there's a lot of manatees on the outside of the bars on and the side, that side.
There's also been some bigger trout just on the outer edges of those bars there, and the guys are, I mean, there's no numbers by any stretch, but it seems like from... what is that? Cormorant Key south seems to be the hotter spot for them, and they're catching them mostly on pinfish, just putting them under a popping cork, or just drifting them along, but keeping them from burying down in the grass. You know, has been the real major trick. But good sized trout, and then like Carl was talking about, you know, the snook and redfish have been scattered, finally starting to get a little bit more active over there along the mangroves, especially if you can find some key points of some of those keys where you got some better moving water. It's starting to get so hot, a lot of those fish are really starting to stage up around good water movement in conjunction close to deeper drop-off points where they can get into some of that deeper water where it might be a degree or two colder. And Flipper's been raising havoc over there too, so I think that's also another thing, is to be able to escape into that deeper water, get away from something.
Yeah, Pirate Harbor's starting to do very good on snook and redfish, and so is also up there by, like, Alligator Creek.
All right, I'm at Alligator Creek. What's going on at Alligator Creek?
Right at the mouth, there's a lot of snook.
Yeah, they finally stopped dredging right there at the mouth. They're all the way up inside by the restaurant, last I heard.
Yeah, the fishing's starting to pick up over there now. You know, your redfish are starting to move up there now. Your snook, they've been there, but they're actually really feeding now pretty good. You know, just north or just south of Alligator Creek are both doing very, very well right now.
Heard of a handful of tarpon and black drum up there inside of Burnt Store Isles as you get past where they're dredging at.
There was some tarpon last week on the outside of Alligator Creek sandbar. Not a lot, but there was some on the outside. I don't know if they're still there or not.
Right.
It's worth a shot looking at.
Well, speaking of that, Ponce de Leon Park, what's going on at Ponce?
Snapper bites doing very good in there. Snapper and snook are doing very good inside Ponce.
Quit letting like white bait go in there and they wouldn't do so well.
I'm not. I'm not letting them go. I let them go out in the harbor now.
Gotcha. Just giving you a hard time.
Yep. Right at my last spot I end up today, I dump everything.
Yeah, I've heard of a few jacks coming through there on moments, and they're usually good size, like 5 to 8 pound fish.
There has been some good jacks scattered everywhere. I mean, I've been seeing jacks and turtle, you know, in the middle of turtle, in the east wall, the canals. I mean, there's... Jacks are starting to move around pretty good.
I wish I could just become a fish whisperer and teach them to jump.
Oh.
And then you'd not be allowed to keep one. They'd be the most protected game fish in history. Because nothing's as much fun as a jack on the end of a rod.
Mm-mm.
And if they would just learn to jump and do a couple of flips, that they wouldn't, you know, all this commercial, there'd be jacks everywhere, because the commercial, you would not be able to keep them. They'd be
protected. Have sport fish status.
Yep.
Colony Point's full of big jacks right now. Big jacks.
All right. Well, I'm actually in the PGI Canal, so...
the big jacks there. Colony Point. There's been some tarpon.
Tarpon, snook.
Some mangrove snappers still. Yep.
But I mean, the jacks, they're probably one of the best thing that's over right there in those canals right now. I mean, they're big. they're not sure little jacks. They're the fun ones where you just hook it and you just, all right, hold on to the rod.
And if you're Barry, you sit off your backyard and catch a 7-foot sawfish.
Did he really?
Yeah. He was in this morning showing me a picture of it.
Wow. Yeah, there was a big group of them down there by Sanibel last week.
Was there?
Yep. There was probably 15 or 20 of them together.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You saw them?
No, my buddy sent me pictures. He was down there and he came across them and they were everywhere. He's like, oh, look at this.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Big mixed variety of sizes, too.
Would have been neat to see. I'd just love to see one.
I've
seen two ever in my life, but they're just so cool.
I've caught about 20 of them so far.
Yeah. Sawfish?
Yep.
Yeah. Guy caught one the other day, and somebody had cut the bill off.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about that.
I mean,
we had a couple of reports this year of that.
What kind of mental midget, moronic, stupid...
Like, how does that thing live? Isn't that, like, the way that they really feed those?
You can cut your nose off, and you're going to live.
No, that's one of their primary ways of feeding, though.
I understand, but still, it's...
They just have to work 10 times harder at it, because now they're literally a stingray. They have to just kind of go along the bottom and try to find scraps that they can get. Or really, really, really dumb fish.
Yeah, but, you know, we've got... the nose of sawfish here in the store that were taken years and years ago. You know, all leathered up, dried out, but they're old. And, you know, I just can't see that if you're not going to keep the fish. You know, parents need to get back to smacking. And just like, yeah, okay, you killed it, you're going to eat it. You know, oh, you brought that shark sawfish nose home? Put it in the pot. You're eating it. You thought enough of it. You got to take it. I mean, I ate some weird stuff as a kid because that was dad. You killed it. You eat it. You know.
Yep.
And
I'm gonna watch.
Yeah. Especially you know you found anything laying in the yard that I'd killed. That was it. You know, you're eating that thing. So anyway, Gilcrest Pier.
I've only heard of a couple jacks right along the seawall in the early morning. Nothing like it has been.
I'm waiting for all those juvenile tarpon to show up there.
Yeah, last week I had a couple reports, but this week nothing.
Mm-mm. Hit or miss right now over there.
Okay, taking us out into the harbor to the Alligator Creek Reef.
There's no cobia there the way there was because there's not 75 boats sitting on it, obviously. Yeah. There's still a few there, but boy, it looked like a flotilla out there the last couple weeks until this past week.
It did, too. He's not lying. But, I mean, there is still a few there, not as many as there was. I mean, I don't know if the wind had anything to do with it to keep people off of it, but there's not nearly as many boats as there was.
I just wrote not sure because of the wind, because we don't have any reports because of the wind. Now, what's that saying about the deep holes in the harbor?
Same thing. It's been so windy, not a lot of guys have been going through it out there. Not concentrating on it. But that's going to change, I hope.
All right, getting into the bait reports. Jug Creek has white bait.
Devilfish, Smokehouse.
That's white bait and pinfish both, though, isn't it?
Yep, that's both.
Yeah.
Bird out there by Eldred's has bait, white bait and pinfish, more pinfish than white bait. But
right, which one are you calling the Smokehouse?
Smokehouse is on the Matlachet side, straight across.
76?
I think it is.
Okay.
Straight across from Two Pines.
All right. And, Devilfish and Smokehouse white bait. What else is being caught somewhere?
Over by Bird, there's also mixed pinfish and white bait. The white bait there has been a little smaller. You know, your white bait over on Devilfish, that's pretty good size white bait, but you have to be there early or you're going to be working at it.
Okay. Where would you go for pinfish?
Be honest with you, I mean, I've been going to Bird. I've been stopping at Bird first thing in the morning. About 5 to 6 feet of water.
Now that's out in Placida, right?
Yeah, that's literally right next to the boat ramp. I've been stopping there first thing in the morning, loading down on all my pinfish, and then I'm heading to Devilfish after that to get all my whitebait.
And
Three Sisters has also had quite a bit of pinfish too around it. Got some mixed reports there on it.
I mean, a lot of the pinfish are pretty big right now. They're good sized pinfish.
All right, now where would you go to find ladyfish?
I've been getting all my ladyfish right there on Kaopalu. Between Kaopalu and Devilfish. I mean, you're out there, you're catching trout and ladyfish at the same time, but that seems to be the most consistent area that I've found for ladyfish right now.
All right. Anything doing with crabs or any other kind of bait?
Crabs have been flushing a little bit in the evenings in Gasparilla, Boca, and Captiva, but you got to pick which one's flowing them a little bit more than the other. And 99% of them are past crabs, so you better only take that handful that you want to use that night. There's also been some threadies out there at the second marker outside of Boca Grande Pass with a few bigger, what I would consider horse greenies, you know, ones that have actually bred once.
Yep. Bell marker buoys have thread fins on it.
Other place for thread fins?
Down by Two Pines has, you know, Two Pines burn store areas. They got a lot of thread fins out there in the middle. Right outside of the sandbar, you know, you'll see the big pods out there. Pull up, use a sabiki rig. And, I mean, you can throw a net, but I mean, I recommend a sabiki rig for them. You know, the markers,
any
marker
particular
two.
Color of sabiki? Are they hitting the red one or the green one more?
I use the fish catchers.
Which one's that?
It's got the little green bead on it.
Okay.
That's the one I've always used. You know, I got confidence in it.
Do you know which one I like to throw? The one that has three green and three red.
Yep.
It has both colors on it.
Exactly. The one that we're out of half the time.
Yeah, probably.
It is. Well, it's hard to keep up with it because one week it's the red bead, the next week it's a green bead, you know, and being able to mix it up makes it a heck of a lot easier. But man, if it's not still a little frustrating trying to dial them in.
It can be.
Okay. Well, anyway, that takes us down to the freshwater end of it. Any freshwater reports?
Yeah, I've been hearing bass fishing I've been doing lately good on worms. You know, your bigger worms, that's what I've been mainly hearing on, people bouncing worms off the bottom.
We're still selling quite a few spinner baits and frogs. And I think with this little bit of rain that we've had, you know, obviously it's not enough rain to do anything or make any spillways flush or anything like that, but it's enough to get the water just kind of active. So I would be putting shiners on or still playing with the frogs and the spinner baits, trying to figure out which little lake that has enough water in it to sustain life. You know, it's been tricky. I mean, even King's Highway, I mean, it's getting so low over there. Yeah. The buzzards are sitting there just beating all the fish to death, and the shorebirds sure are having a good time with it. And we saw several roseates over there last Saturday on my way into work. It was just really? Like, yeah. You know, there's a bunch of them along with the egrets cruising the whole shoreline over there on the King's Highway ponds. They're just everything.
I haven't seen one on the water in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it's prime nesting season too, so they're working hard, cruising back and forth to feed their little fledglings right now.
Yeah, they're neat to see.
They're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They are really a beautiful bird.
You know, marker two and marker one's got bait. You know, mixed white bait, mixed thread fins on it, but it's hit or miss. One day it's there, one day it's not.
Okay, I'm trying to scroll back up there to get that in, but I'm trying to keep the color going.
It's been mixed little threadies and little white bait.
They're decent sized baits, but it's just been one day you pull up, you'll get it on a couple throws, and the next day you pull up, you throw 30 times, and you might get 30 pieces of bait. It's just very hit or miss on the markers.
Okay. Well, I guess that should wrap it up. Anything else we need to talk about?
You know, it's getting hot out there, so, you know, fish your cooler areas, your shade, more shaded areas, or maybe your little deeper cuts. You'll do a lot better that way right now.
Take the extra time to resuscitate the fish.
Yep.
Watch your live wells with all your bait in it, because you get into some of those shallower spots, it heats up quick and your bait will all die, so don't get too carried away filling it up. You know, it's definitely that time of year to start being real observant of all that.
Drink plenty of fluids.
Yeah.
That's kind of a given. The only reason I'm with that, but I sip water. Well, actually, I take my coffee with me, and I just have one of those great big things of coffee, and I just sip a little bit on that all day, and it seems to do really well for me.
Mountain Dew works great for me.
Yeah.
And Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I guess we all have our ways of, you know, but I get out there, and I'm chugging bottles of water, and it doesn't do me much good. I don't know why, but I just sip a little bit all day.
I mix my Gatorade. I make like half Gatorade, mm-hmm. half water.
Yeah.
You know what's actually really good is take orange juice and you mix water with it.
Yeah.
That's actually very, very good.
I used to do that. I can't drink them anymore because health issues, but the V8 splash stuff.
Yep.
50-50 with water, you know.
I do the same thing.
And because if you drink like Gatorade or fruit juice or something, A, it's too expensive. B, it's too thick, and there's too much sugar in it. There's too much salt in it. It's like Gatorade's made for running on a football field, and you know it's really bad for you out. And if you're, you know, just using it to drink, but if you cut it down, you know, half or third, it works. It's actually good for you at that point again. Okay, I guess that kind of sums it up. This is the 5th, and today is the 26th, 17th, okay. Got the dates and everything. Anything that you can think of, Robert?
Just have a safe Memorial Day weekend. Be a lot of people out there, and pay attention to everything that's going around you.
Okay.
Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross. We gone fishing instead of just a wishing.
Bumpo baby bumpo baby mole.
Oh yeah.
And boys and girls, thanks for listening. And Fisher Chrysler stores in Port Charlotte and in the Inca Marine Boat Dealership in North Fort Myers. And the store's actually picking up. It's gotten a lot of regulars coming in. Phone number in Fort Myers is 239-634-1043. And here's a question. I'm going to pose this, and you can answer me back, frank@fishandfranks.com. Do you think it's okay, or should we sell ads for the beginning or end or in our broadcast? The broadcast is doing somewhere, one month we do 4,000 or 5,000 people, and next month we have 9,000 or 10,000 people listening to it. We appreciate it. We always suspect your taste in broadcast, but you know, we appreciate you putting up with us. But is it okay, or should we just, if somebody wants to advertise, just put little pictures next to the link, and that way you can either listen or not. Trying to make the decision, I mean, I've always paid for the show myself, but getting a lot of requests to buy ads on Radio Fishing, and I don't know what I should do, you know. I mean, money's always nice, but should I? I don't know. So, anyway, let me know, frank@fishandfranks.com, and we'll let you guys decide what I should or shouldn't do with this show. It's not going to change the content. You would just listen to a 15-second or a 30-second ad here once in a while. But, you know, I'm just on the fence with it. You know, I wouldn't mind having the money, but on the other hand, I don't know if I want to mess with my shows. So, anyway, frank@fishandfranks.com. Let me know your thoughts. Bye.